All right, I mentioned the flowers a moment ago, but I didn't mention the decorations. And they were put up here by the Carter family in honor of Michael Carter. Done a great job, amen. And also, Pastor Carter is preaching off this morning, so good Lord willing, he'll be back with you next week and get back into the book of John. But we're going to go back to book of James, amen. We're making excuse me this morning, my nose is running, trying to. My wife asked me, what does your feet smell? If your nose running, your feet smell, you're built upside down. I'm just having a nose problem this morning. I guess catching some type of cold. Well, we're going back to the book of James. We've been there in chapter 1 for quite some time. Every time we get a chance, we teach a little bit out of it. And by the time we get through doing all the review, we don't get very far, amen? And I know we need to review because I don't remember it. So I know you didn't remember it. So we have to go back through it. But we're not going to go too far this morning because I would like to get through with chapter 1. But James is worried about the purity of the church, doctrinal issues, and at this particular time, the church is being persecuted and it's scattered abroad, and it is growing. That's a good thing. But as churches grow, and we see the same thing today even, as churches grow, every time you start a new church somewhere and it begins to grow, you're bringing people into the fold. Well, when you bring people into the fold, you bring with them whatever baggage and luggage that they're carrying. And people say, well, it really shouldn't matter. It does matter. And that's why we teach repetition. We teach the same thing over and over and over. You know, from Genesis to Revelations, the book has not changed. It's the same book, it's the same teachings, and we teach it over and over and over. And I don't know about you, but just like Dr. Carter, when he teaches through Revelations, I've had him in church 3 times I know that he's taught it, and in the past 10 or 15 years. And then I've also had him a couple times in college, and I have tapes of his that I've listened to 2-3 times at home. And I learn something every time he goes through it. Every time I go through it on my own, I learn something. But for doctrinal issues, it's important that we keep ourselves into the Word of God so that we keep our minds clear. And I'll just give you a few little examples, something simple. How did the animals go into the ark? You know, just about everybody can raise your hand and tell you how many animals went in the ark, right? They went in 2 by 2, right? Well, that's not true. See, that's not true. Part of it went in 2 by 2, right? But they went in 7 of the clean, right? 2 of the unclean. So but we forget that. But see, this is because we're taught this as a child. And we learn that in Sunday school as a child. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we don't do like Pastor Carter used to tell us, Pastor Stephen, he'd always say, move your finger and keep reading. Then you get the gist of what's being taught. So that's why it's important that we continually go through the books of the Bible so that we keep our mind fresh and we don't carry with us luggage. And you got to remember something. When you're out knocking doors and you're soul winning and you lead somebody to the Lord, you know, a lot of people will say they don't have any religion. Well, everybody has some type of religion, even if it's non-belief. Non-belief is a religion, right? So everybody has some type of religion. So whatever baggage they're bringing with them, to them it was real. You take a Muslim. They believe in their religion as much as you do in yours. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm hardcore. I mean, there's nothing that's going to change my mind on what I believe. Well, that's what we also have to remember in the world today. It's the same way with many other religions and different faiths. So when we break through and God tears that heart down and these people come to understand the fact that they're sinners and that they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, they're still bringing with them that luggage. So when they get into the church house, and not deliberately, but a lot of times it causes issues. And that's the reason James was teaching everything that he's teaching. So with that in mind, as we go through the chapters, only five chapters in the book of James, but as you go through those five chapters, and you can read ahead if you'd like, it's okay. But keep in mind, everything that James is showing us and teaching us here has got to do with the purity of the church. It's keeping that doctrine as sound as we can keep it. And that's why he points out on all these little things that he's pointing out on. And a lot of times we feel like, well, you're being picked on, but that's just not true. It's that, I mean, if we don't refresh ourselves and tell ourselves and point out the issues that are right and wrong, then we don't know them, do we? So that's what James is trying to do for us right here. He's trying to point out all the things that we need to keep in ourselves. And that's what we got to remember. It's all about what we believe in our own lives and in our faith. And if we don't do that, we'll find ourselves getting astray, just like we did with the animals going into the ark. We get wrong doctrine. And that's something minor, but there are major issues. And so we don't want to get into something major and it get us so far off a track that we're teaching false doctrine. All right, let's go to verse 19. I believe we stopped in verse 17 or 18. So we're going to pick it up in verse 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to wrath." Now think about something. God give us two ears and one mouth. Now my daddy always told me, "Son, that ought to tell you something. You should listen twice as much as you speak." And that's pretty good advice. But you know, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but nowadays people would rather talk than listen. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking verbally like I am now or if you're talking here. Right? The world today is chattering. I mean, you go to Walmart, Winn-Dixie, Publix, wherever, and there's people standing in line, and they're tapping on that phone, aren't they? Constantly talking. Well, folks, it seems to me like today, rather than listening and hearing the Word of God, we would rather talk about ourselves, about what we've got going on. Folks, that's not a good thing. Now, I understand that the power that you hold in your hand right there, you have instant access to anything, pretty much anything in the world. But we can access God with it also, can't we? But that's not where our focus is today. Our focus is that we want to speak. We want to speak. We want to speak. The whole world needs to know what I had for breakfast this morning. So I'm going to put it on Facebook. Right? Folks, let me just tell you something. The world don't care what you had for breakfast this morning. That's the truth of it. But we're so self-consumed with self, everything's about me today. Me, 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 me. No, we should be focusing on the things of God. We should spend our time rather than trying to speak out verbally, because that's all we're doing when you're messing with that phone, you're texting or emailing or whatever you're doing. That's all you're doing. You're trying to verbalize whatever it is that's on your mind this morning. Well, the Bible is teaching us that we should be listening. Folks, we don't hear God today because we don't listen to God. You know, lots of times there's that little still voice inside of you. God is trying to speak to you, trying to talk to you. And when you read the Bible, have you not ever read the Bible and the voice of God speak to you inside? You find something new and it's like wham. And you can tell God is speaking to you through his word. But folks, we don't listen today. We're too busy talking rather than listening. And when we're reading, studying God's word, we're absorbing all that he has for us. That's where we need to be in our lives every day. Put the phone down and get into God's word. Verse 20. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, I don't know about you, but I've been there a few times, right? You get angry, you get upset, and the goodness of God doesn't always come out of you, does it? We get angry about something, and what happens to us? When we begin to speak when we're angry, normally worldly things is going to come out of us, not godly things. So it's very careful. We need to be very careful about how we let wrath rule in our lives. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. What he's telling us right here, he's telling us to lay aside all the filthiness. And when he was talking about superfluity of naughtiness, that's just talking about an abundance. We have plenty of it. And folks, we do have plenty of it. But we need to lay that aside. And like I said, when we got into the chapter, everything that he's telling us is things that we need to do to keep our doctrinal issues straight. And in verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, what's he talking about there? Folks, if you look into a mirror, what do you see? You see yourself, right? That's the natural man. That's you. That's you in the flesh. Well, what he's saying is here, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. What he's saying is, folks, we have forgotten who we were and what we are today. If you're not doing anything for God, then you've forgotten what God has done for you. Folks, remember when you first got saved? I don't know about you, but I was excited. I was only 12 years old, but I was excited. I knew that God had saved me from a sinner's hell. And because of that, I was going to heaven. And at the time, I was willing to share that with anybody and everybody. And because of that, I wanted to do things for God. I wanted to go to church. You know, I've always wanted to sing in the choir, and they just never let me. They still won't let me sing in the choir. Amen. but you have a desire to do those things. Well, if you don't have any of those desires, then you've forgotten who you were. Folks, God reached down and pulled us out of a pit of hell, raised us up. We're justified by the blood, and we should never forget that. But what he's saying here, if we're not doers of the work, then that's what we've done. We've forgotten what God has done for us. It's all about me today, isn't it? Everything's about me. We forget. Isn't that sad? It's sad that we forget what God's goodness is and how God saved us. And you say, well, you know, what's the importance of it? It's important here to James, or he wouldn't have mentioned it. Well, folks, when we lose that joy, we've allowed the world, the devil, to steal our joy from us. When we lose that, we stop sharing that joy with other people. Now, yesterday I mentioned that we had a really good service, and we did. We had a very good service yesterday. But even in death, Mark's testimony, which was shared, people were saved yesterday. Now, folks, that's what everything that we're doing here this morning is about. That's why we come to church on Sundays as believers. We don't have to come to church to go to heaven. We come to church to get recharged, to exercise our mind and our brains and remember who we are and what we're supposed to be doing to keep us on the right track so that we can go out and get these other people who's lost and dying and on their way to hell into heaven. And sometimes we forget that. And I know how hard it is. You know, we get so involved. Brother Whistler, before he had COVID, he was just like many, many other folks. He going through his daily life, his daily routine. He was a hard worker, always has been. But his main focus, his main goal was taking care of his family and running his business. Well, after he got COVID and he was in the hospital for several weeks, once he got back home, everything about him changed. Let me tell you what changed about him. He remembered where he was, where he could have been going, and where he's going instead. Amen. Now, what happened there was a little reality check, and it's sad that God has to do that to us sometimes, but he allows these things in our lives sometimes so that we do remember. Now, did he still take care of his family? Yes, he did. Even better. Because the reality of the fact that you might not be here tomorrow. You know, there's no promise of tomorrow. But with that reality check, he lived his life differently. And everywhere he went, he talked about Jesus. I was up there at Cody's Auto Parts one morning, and Gene, if you know Gene, he's always tell you about Jesus. When you walk in there, when you leave, you're going to know one thing. You're going to hell if you're not born again. He's going to let you know that. Well, Mark came in that morning, and between the two of them, I'll tell you right now, the man didn't have a chance. He knew when he left there, he was on his way to hell. They let you know that. And, aren't you worried about losing customers, Gene? Gene says, no, he's not worried about it. He's more concerned about the soul that's going to hell. Well, that's the same way with Mark, and that's the way Mark lived the rest of his days. You know, he had a different attitude towards things. And sometimes I feel like, you know, the good Lord just needs to reach down and just give us a good shake sometimes and wake us up. Not this wokeness that the government's talking about. But we need to be woke up as Christians. We need to remember, folks, we were once on our way to hell. Just like, you know, I mean, I can call names, people who you think's going to hell by the way they live their lives. I mean, we got a lot of people in the White House right now that looks to me like they're on a road to hell. And it's easy for us to criticize them. I don't agree with anything they're doing. But what we need to be doing as Christians is praying for them. And folks, I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe that if we prayed for them, we can make a difference. We can make a difference if we would just do what James is telling us right here. Instead of looking in that mirror this morning and seeing the old man, the natural flesh, we should be seeing the new man. We should be seeing the new me, the saved me. That's who we ought to be seeing. And if we would live our lives the way James is trying to teach us right here, then we would be making a difference in the world. Mark Whistler made a difference in the world. Amen. After his battle with COVID. He made a big difference. Folks, it's the same way with you and I today. If we would wake up, and when we look in that mirror, if we're seeing that old flesh, then we need to be woke up. Because we should be like Mark. We should be spreading the gospel everywhere we go. And what happens is we get so bogged down in our own lives. And life's hard out here. I understand that. I know that. You know, even as we get older, I was speaking to somebody yesterday. I'm like, they was talking about going fishing. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I thought when I got older, I'd have more time to fish. It's not so. I have less time now than I did when I was younger. And I'm not really sure what's happening. But I think the biggest problem is that it takes me 3 days to do one day's work now. So I use up the week trying to get through the first 2 days, so I don't have time to go fishing, you know? But, folks, I'm just saying that we need to get our lives doctrinally correct. We say that we love the Lord. We are in here this morning, so obviously we're searching something, aren't we? Or we wouldn't be here this morning. If we didn't love God, we wouldn't be here. So if we love God and we're going to be here this morning, then why do we leave it here when we leave here today? Because a lot of us, that's what we do as Christians. We come to church Sunday morning, we'll be here Sunday night, and a lot of us even go the extra effort, and we might make it on Wednesday night. But the rest of the time, we live our lives for ourselves. We're not living our lives for our God. And we're all guilty of that. And, you know, we say, well, we're just so tired. Yeah, it's hard life. It's hard. And the government's not helping anything, are they? They're making it worse and worse and worse. Verse 24. For he that beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgoeth what manner of man he was. There we go. That's what I was just talking about. He's back to his old self. 25, but whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God is telling us that by being in his work and doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, we're blessed by that. Folks, when we're blessed in many, many ways. First of all, if you've ever been soul winning, if you've ever led anybody to Christ, it's almost like being saved yourself. You feel so good and so relieved for that person that got saved. It's just a joy. You can't even describe to somebody what it's like. It's surreal. You're like, man, because you know how it was when you got saved. Well, you're seeing somebody else go through that process. You're seeing them. You know that God just reached down and pulled them out of the pits of hell, that they're now on their way to heaven. What a blessing that is. What a joy that is. And folks, let me tell you something. Don't be discouraged by the world that we live in. You know, a lot of folks, and this is what we hear as Christians, well, you Baptists, oh, thank you, got a license to steal. You can just do what you want to do and go to heaven. Well, that's true. It's true. People can't wrap their mind around that. But folks, because I'm saved, I don't want to do those things. See, you know, if you have a desire to do those things, you have no conscience about those things, then you might want to do a little soul searching. But when you're saved, you don't want to do those things. But if you slip up, that sin is under the blood. What a blessing that is, folks. But we get discouraged by what we hear all the time. You know, people knock Christians. People, they want to knock you. And this is what people do. They want to elevate themselves so they'll destroy you to do that. They'll put you down to raise themselves up. And that's what the world does every day. And folks, Christians is a dirty word anymore, isn't it? And it's going to get worse and worse. Just as the church was being persecuted in this particular time in the Bible, that persecution is coming back, folks. And if the Lord don't come, we're going to see a lot more of it. I mean, the government right now is being hard on our military personnel once again. Basically, if you're a Christian, they don't really want you in the military. Why? Because they can't control you. You know, even our Christian men, they believe. We got several right here that's in the military. And they believe in obeying orders. But when those orders cross the line, they're not going to obey them. When it comes between choosing between right and wrong, they're going to choose right. And the military don't want that. Our government doesn't want that. Our government wants full control. This mask deal, and I heard a new COVID's coming out, and all this nonsense, folks. They're trying to push the COVID shot now on our children in school. Well, let me just remind you of something. This COVID shot, which, by the way, they call it a vaccine, it's not a vaccine. It does not do what a vaccine does. Therefore, it's not a vaccine. Okay? Look up the definition of a vaccine and then look up what the COVID shot does. It is not a vaccine. They can call it what they want to call it. Also, they pushed this COVID so-called vaccine in because under the law of emergency. We had an emergency, and at the time, you have to put yourself in the official's place, you know, not knowing the situation. They had to do what they thought was right, and that was to call an emergency, bring in this shot to help people, because if COVID was as bad as they thought it was, then it would have been the right thing to do. However, once the COVID issue is pretty much resolved, which it is, that we're no longer under that rule of emergency. Therefore, that shot is now illegal. It is illegal for them to give that shot out today because the shot has not been approved by the FDA. Now, these shots, people say, well, you're against vaccines. That's not true. I'm fully vaccinated. My wife's fully vaccinated. My children are fully vaccinated. But these vaccines had been studied for years and years and years and redeemed to be safe. You know, they're 1 in 10 million children that might get polio from taking the polio vaccine. Well, I think that was worth the risk. But it's not that way with the COVID shots. And even though it's no longer legal to give, they're still pushing it. That ought to tell you something. That should wake you up to the reality of what our government's up to. Folks, our government, they really don't care about you. They're not concerned about you. They're concerned about their agenda. And their agenda is not our agenda. Amen? They're not looking for the same thing. We're looking for the upper taker. And they're looking for the ways of the world. They're looking for control. And everything that they're doing today is nothing but control. They want to. Why do they want to give your children this shot so bad? I mean, I don't think it's going to pass through. I mean, they're fighting it, but why would they want to do that? Knowing that this shot is not safe, they have no idea what's going to happen 15 years down the road for anybody taking this COVID shot. They have no idea. The studies hadn't gone that far, but they're still pushing the issue. Folks, it's important that we stand up for what we know is biblically correct in every aspect of our lives. But today, and let me just say something to you. If we were standing as Christians in our churches around the globe, we're taking a stand that it should be taken. During the pandemic, if our church across this land had taken the stand that it should have taken, the government would pay attention to the church. Today, the government pay very little attention to the church because we no longer have a voice. Because we've cowered down so much, the government, they don't hear us anymore. There's not a cry out there. And I still think part of the problem is money. Folks, when you start talking about taking away money, and today you're hard-pressed to find anybody that does not have some form of government income. Think about that. You know, Social Security is a government income. Now, understand that it's not given to you. I understand that. You worked and paid, and you worked all your life for that, and that's fine. It's a good thing. But a lot of people are still controlled by that because they'll threaten to stop it. I mean, how many times have you heard Social Security's broke? Social Security's broke. Social Security's broke. But yet we have hundreds of billions of dollars to continue to send overseas. But Social Security's broke. Why do you think that is? Mind games. They're trying to get in your head. They want to control you. Election time's right around the corner, 2-3 years. They're setting the stage. They're planting the seed. Folks, that's why it's so important that we be doers of the word. You know, you can come in here on Sunday morning and listen to the services, and you'll get a little something out of that. But when you leave here Sunday and you leave it all here, then did it do you or anybody else any good? Folks, we need to live what we hear. We need to live what the Bible teaches us. Because if as a church across this nation, if we were doing what James is talking about right here, being doers of the word and not hearers only, if we were being doers of the word, we still have a voice. I remember when I was a little boy, the church had a voice. But folks, we've slowly given up those rights because of our being lazy. And that's what it amounts to. And this is what we do as a people. We point fingers at Uncle Sam. Well, Uncle Sam doesn't control our church. Uncle Sam, not right now, anyhow. Uncle Sam doesn't run our church. Our God runs our church. Our leadership in the church controls what goes on in our church and what's being taught in our churches, not Uncle Sam. And then how we live our lives every day is our choice. But the problem is, rather than doing what we're instructed to do, we're living as the world lives. It's more important, all the things that we have going on. And I understand. I know what it's like to have to work every day. I do it too. But the problem is we begin to get bogged down. We're so focused on the things I've heard all my life, and you probably have too. I want something better for my children. I want something better. I want to give them more than I had. That's not necessarily a good thing. You know, sometimes we always want more and better for our children, but depending on what we're giving them and what we're showing them, it's not always better. We want to do better, and that's fine, but we need to keep everything in a proper order, and we haven't done that. We've allowed ourselves to become bogged down. In verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. And folks, what that's talking about, it's talking about these preachers that you see today up here teaching and preaching, but they're not teaching and preaching out of this book. They're teaching and preaching out of other books. They're not teaching out of King James. They're not teaching the doctrine that we're reading and studying right here in the book of James right now. They're not teaching that. There's churches that you can go to and you can be there for years and not one time ever hear that you need to be born again. We've had people come right in here, been in church all their life, and have never heard that they're going to hell without Christ. That's sad. But that's what this is talking about. It's talking about those teachers that's just all they want to do is make you feel good. Folks, it's not about how you feel today. It's not about you feeling good. Well, I like to go to church because I want to feel better about myself. You want to feel better about yourself? Get saved and do something for God. And you'll feel better about yourself. Folks, there's nothing good about us. The only thing good about us is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only good in us. The Bible teaches us that everything about us is what? That's filthy rags. It's only what we have in Jesus that's good. Now, I'm not trying to disappoint you or step on your toes or anything. I'm talking to me too. Folks, we just need to get our focus where it needs to be. On the Lord Jesus. We still have to get through our busy days. And we still have to earn a living. We have to do all these things. But we can do these things and have our focus correct. And have our focus on the Lord Jesus where it needs to be. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the word. That's pure religion. I said word, but that's world. That's pure religion. Folks, what's it talking about? It's talking about to be unspotted. Folks, we're supposed to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be tied up in the ways of the world. We're not supposed to be living in the same sin that the world's living in. You know, we're supposed to have, if you're watching television, you should have a different program on your television. If you're listening to the radio, there should be a different station that you're listening to. You shouldn't be living and doing the same things as the people of the world. It says to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That doesn't mean that we can't, I mean, we got to live here. We don't have an option, do we? We're forced to live in the world, but our focus should be different. And when it's talking about undefiled before God, and a father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows. Folks, doesn't that mean that we should be putting others before ourselves sometimes? We should have the love. You know, when you get born again, you're saved and Jesus moves in here, something is supposed to take place there, isn't it? Jesus, God is what? Love. And if God has moved in here and I'm saved and I'm truly saved and God has moved in here in my heart, then there should be evidence of that love. Therefore, I should be loving the brethren. I should be loving those that are in need. I should be wanting to help or to visit with or whatever the case may be to help others. That's the love of Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for help. God helps me every day. You know, and sometimes little things. But let me tell you something. Brother Whistler called me. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but Brother Whistler called me the day before the hurricane. And he asked me, he said, "Preacher, are you ready? You got everything buttoned down or you need help? Is there anything I can help you with?" And I told him, no, I had everything taken care of. But to stop and think about that. Here's a man that he's got his dad, his wife's mother, his wife, his son, his own family, his business, and all of his own family, yet he stopped what he was doing and took time to call me. That meant a lot to me. It really did. And I told him so. You know, I didn't need that help. I had it taken care of, thank God. But the fact that he cared enough in his busy time to call me to see if I needed that help, that meant a lot to me. It really helped me. And folks, that's what we can do with each other. Sometimes just that simple little phone call. And I'm the world's worst about that. I don't make enough phone calls. I hate a telephone. I despise a telephone. They're just wicked anymore. But still, sometimes they're used for good. And that call, I can't tell you how much it meant to me. And folks, that's the brotherly love that we're reading about right here. That's what James is telling us about. When Jesus is in here, then we should be sharing that with the world. And that's why these things are so important. And I'm out of time. Brother Burt's going to be upset with me. Well, folks, let me get the Sunday school count. We made it through that chapter. Amen. All right, 7:54 today. That's pretty good. All right, take a few minute break and we'll be back for the preaching services.